welcome once again to EWTN's Bookmark. I'm Doug Heck, your host. Our guest authors are Father Andrew Hofer, OP, and Father Philip Nolan, OP. The book, Hail Mary, Pondering the Mysteries of Love, available through our EWTN religious catalog, EWTNRC.com, for all things Catholic, published by Magnificat. And welcome, gentlemen, to EWTN, Father Andrew.
Thank you, Doug.
And Father Philip.
Thank you
so much.
Good
to have you, and people would have seen you on Women of Grace, talking with Jeanette. And of course, a perfect book for her. Now, this is a follow-up to another book you did. You got Hail Mary. And prior to this, you did another book similar to that. What was that one?
That was Our Father, Our Prayer of Hope, which came out last year.
Okay, very good. And so I'm assuming that was popular and did quite well, mm-hmm. so much so that you thought it was a good idea. Not that I would think that the only reason you would come out with this book would be because it sold well or did well, but I gather it did.
It's into the second printing.
Okay. Yes. So let me ask you, putting that book together and this book together on the Hail Mary, how did you go about it in the sense that did you sit together and write together? Did each of you had different sections? How did that work?
Well, I started by preaching retreats, both on the Our Father and the Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. And so I had a lot of raw materials. And then I was so happy that Father Philip and I could work together okay. and actually then changing a lot right. and making this happen.
Now, besides the book you wrote before, have you written any other books, either one of you?
I have not, but...
I've recently written a book called The Power of Patristic Preaching, The Word in Our Flesh. Mm-hmm. So going back to the fathers of the church as exemplary preachers for the church today.
Yeah, that's great. EWTN has featured, we've done some programs where we featured great sermons by the great patristics to show people, you know, that the church's teaching is pretty constant to the beginning, contrary to some people's opinion. Now, you dedicated the book to St. Joseph, but it's about the Hail Mary. Why?
Well, Our Lady was pretty dedicated to St. Joseph as well, and so we thought it would be a fitting way to honor her by honoring her spouse. And we dedicated our first book to Our Lady.
Okay.
And so
you thought equal time? Is that what you wanted?
They are married.
Yes. Now, you say in the beginning here, it might surprise us that a saint as great as Thérèse of Lisieux had difficulty praying. Yeah, she said, for me, prayer is a surge of the heart. It's a simple look towards heaven. It is a cry of recognition, of love, embracing both trial and joy. Why did you decide to pick on her example in talking about the Hail Mary?
So she then goes on, after having discussed what prayer is for her, she also went on to talk about how she struggled with prayer mm-hmm. and how she turned to the Our Father and to the Hail Mary, especially when she struggled with prayer. And mm-hmm. so we pick on her as an example of someone who really knew how to pray, but also anyone who right. knows how to pray knows that prayer can be a struggle.
And she wanted us to pray the prayers slowly. Mm-hmm. So she said that when she has this aridity, when she has this mm-hmm. dryness, that what helps her is to pray the Our Father and the Hail Mary slowly.
Are you trying to say we all pray the rosary a little too fast? New Yorkers, we pray very quickly.
It's good to take, that can work, and it's right. also good to take times where you slow it down.
Of course, there's also the kids at Fatima that had the shortcut rosary yes. that they did. Which has come in handy a couple of times in the past. And you say, in fact, everyone who prays experiences trouble in prayer. Why is it so difficult, do you think?
I mean, talking to God is different than talking to anyone else. Mm-hmm. And so it's the most essential thing. One saint says it's more important to pray than to breathe. But it's also raises us beyond our normal way of thinking and speaking and relating. And so it's doing something more than humans can really do on our own. And so in that sense, it's difficult and challenging. Mm-hmm.
Now you say here, Father Andrew, you had mentioned the idea of preaching retreats. You say it offers a retreat-style meditation on the words of the Hail Mary with the assistance of sacred art. The purpose of the book is to deepen our love and union with Mother of God and her Son. You say our guide here is sacred scripture, the liturgy of the church, especially the Holy Mass, the church, magisterium, the saints, and the realities of daily life. So how do you lay out a book that mimics, let's say, a retreat?
Well, a retreat is divided up into conferences. Mm-hmm. And so a retreat theme needs to be prayerful mm-hmm. so as to reach people. And then that the retreat master organizes the conferences in a way that mm-hmm. makes sense and that will help the people to pray more deeply. Mm-hmm. And so both for the Our Father and the Hail Mary book, Father Philip and I decided to go through the prayers methodically, mm-hmm. so that line by line by line, and each has 8 chapters, so that we divided each prayer up into 8 chapters of meditations.
As you say here, right in the beginning, you've got it laid out basically line by, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, etc., as you go through. But you also talk about the rosary and the connection to the rosary.
Right, so the Hail Mary, we especially pray during the rosary. Mm-hmm. And so we connected different lines of the Hail Mary to different mysteries of the rosary as a way to pray more deeply. So obviously the very first words of the Hail Mary come from the Annunciation. And mm-hmm. so we then pondered the mystery.
Right.
With the prayer.
It's interesting because you just mentioned ponders, and obviously you relate to Our Lady pondering. What is pondering, and how does one go about doing it?
Well, so first off, St. Luke says that Our Lady pondered, right. Precisely after the shepherds leave the Christ child, and then also after Our Lord Jesus was discovered in the temple, so that finding of the Lord in the temple, that the evangelist Luke wants us to think about Mary pondering these things in her heart. Mm. So pondering, I think, means especially going over again and again and again, and to be able to rest in that which you think about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you ponder a lot, Father?
I hope so. We're supposed to live a contemplative life. Yeah, just mulling over the mysteries of the faith. And I love, I don't remember who calls it, but that the mysteries are a little bit like a walnut. Like mm-hmm. they have a hard outside sometimes, but then when you break open, they're nourishing and sweet on the inside. Mm-hmm. And so I think by mulling over and meditating, contemplating, we get into the sweetness.
Yeah, I guess mulling over would be a more contemporary way people would kind of say of doing it. But you also talk about the fact that love has many meanings. You're going to talk about, according to St. Augustine and St. Thomas, love is the most basic passion of our hearts. But you say, on the other hand, it, in its deepest sense, love is, of course, much more than a feeling of passion. Hope does not disappoint, says the Apostle Paul, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit and has been given to us. So how does love fit into the Hail Mary?
Well, so if you understand, as St. John teaches in his first epistle, that God is love, mm. and then to see that everything God does is reflecting who he is. Mm. He loves. He is love. And then as you quote Romans 5:5, mm-hmm. that love of God has been poured into our hearts. So then to see how Our Lady's heart was filled with the love of God, mm-hmm. and that we then can imitate Our Lady and then see the love of God at work in us, and that love of God also spurs us on to love of neighbor.
Okay. Well, you also say here, I thought it was interesting, God loves us, and he both commands and empowers us to love in return. He created us to receive love, give love. What do you mean he commands? I thought we had free will.
Well, his commandments are not opposed to our free will. Mm-hmm. So he does, right? It's the great commandment, mm-hmm. love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor, but he always enables what he commands. He never commands the impossible. Mm-hmm. And so if he says you have to love God with everything, then he's going to make it possible for those who are receptive to his command.
What's the connection between love and charity?
So charity is one form of love. Mm-hmm. So that the word love can be used in various senses, even the passion. But charity precisely is that theological virtue that is infused in us and unites us to God. So it's been revealed mm-hmm. in sacred scripture, and that's why it's the theological virtue of love.
And you're talking about love here as a precursor to say there's not a creature in heaven or earth who knows the love of God better than Mary, the mother of Jesus. One of the best ways for us to grow is the awareness acceptance of God's love is to meditate with her. And it's interesting, you say mother of Jesus as opposed to mother of God there. Well, why'd you say it that way?
You can say both. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to obviously hold to mother of God because there's some who would say that she could be the mother.
Well, you talk about some exactly. of the early heresy. And
exactly.
Right, exactly.
So,
having to do with that. Now, as Dominicans, you've got a special devotion to Our Lady. Now, did Our Lady give the rosary to St. Dominic, or is that just a nice
very
story?
It's a very old tradition.
Right.
It's a very old tradition.
And I think she has entrusted...
I'm sure Bob and Penny Lord would be very supportive of that position. Yeah. But
She's entrusted the rosary right. in a special way to the Order of Preachers. And so in our constitutions, not only are we to pray the rosary every day, it says that we are to preach the rosary fervently.
Mm-hmm. Now, the first chapter, Hail Mary, Full of Grace, you say, what was Mary doing when the angel approached her? Some traditions state she was meditating on sacred scripture. Perhaps Mary was pondering the prophecies of the Old Testament. Other traditions talk about her working on the temple veil. Why does it matter what she was doing?
So it makes sense to think of her as a woman who was already dedicated to God.
Right.
We have those early traditions of what she was like as even a young girl praying in the temple. Mm-hmm. And so what is it like to be someone who is waiting for the word? And that's where those traditions help us to ponder what her disposition was like towards God.
Now you say on earth all sorts of issues arise when we try to communicate with each other, and we often need guides. Parents instruct their children on how to address others. Teachers help their students learn how to be respectful. They still do that? Or are they just kids don't listen any more than they used to? You might know.
You know, the young generation is always worse, as they say.
Right. It was much better in my day. You say that the problem of communication would seem to be even greater when you try to address someone who's no longer simply a woman on earth, but celestial royalty. So how do we have this, in a sense, of the grandeur of Our Lady, but the closeness of Our Lady? How do we manage that?
Well, it's God. Okay. So Our Lady in heaven sees God, and in the beatific vision, God shows Our Lady the things that are needed. And so it's because of God's goodness that Our Lady in heaven can be so close to us here on earth.
Right. Well, you say she hears our greeting and she will answer our need. Now, how does she answer our need? I mean, isn't God the one who's doing everything?
So God gave her this mission. Mm-hmm. So he uses us to mm-hmm. help each other. Okay. He uses Mary in a most preeminent way to help his church. She's the mother of the church. She is the mother of Christians. And so it redounds to his mm-hmm. dignity, the fact that he allows her to do so many things.
You make the point that there's, you know, that you talk about Hail Mary, but the Greek talks about rejoice. Mm-hmm. What's the connection there? Is there a difference?
Yes. So people don't usually use the word hail. So Hail Mary, Hail Holy Queen, Hail to the Chief. Mm-hmm. But what does the word hail really mean? And if you go back to St. Luke's writing the account, he does use the Greek word chaira, which is rejoice. So for us then to think about when we say Hail Mary, in mm-hmm. a sense we say rejoice Mary. And so how St. Paul says in the letter to the Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Mm-hmm. And so something about that joy of that first joyful mystery of the Annunciation, mm-hmm. that is undergirding all of our meditations. Mm-hmm. Rejoice in the Lord always. Hail Mary, rejoice Mary.
Okay. Well, you quote St. John Paul II, who wrote, the whole of salvation history, in some sense, the entire history of the world, has led up to this greeting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're waiting for God, right? That was the great prophecy. He's coming, God will come, he will come to save, and this is the moment. This is the moment.
You talk about the fact that Mary's got an abundance of titles. In fact, you quoted, I guess, some Eastern Christians, and you list them here. I mean, sometimes that's the kind of thing that Protestants say, well, what is it with all these titles? It's almost, you're mimicking what the pagans used to do all the time.
Well, so this is where that titles show us something about the inexhaustibility of what God has done. Mm-hmm. So that in Our Lady, she has so many titles because of her dignity. As Mother of God, then she can be called under many different titles mm-hmm. to show forth what God has done for her. So you think about the Magnificat. All generations will call me blessed, mm-hmm. for the Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. You know, all generations will call her blessed. So to be able to count the blessings of Mary.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think it's, in this way, is it a way for many people to approach her at different levels that relate to them maybe personally and they feel more comfortable? In the sense of a particular title that Our Lady might have?
I think we see that in the church where people right. are attracted to different devotional names for Our Lady simply because of their background. So, you know, Mother of Mercy. I know that's one of your favorites.
Right. Yes. But Mom, Mother of Mercy, M-O-M.
There you go, you got it.
Refuge of Sinners, you know. Right. Okay. There's, but then all sorts of Pope Francis added some new titles for Mother of Migrants, just different needs. We go to her with our needs.
Right, exactly. You said the world cannot understand spiritual joy and those corrupted by evil mock it. Only joy in the Lord can prompt us to undertake the difficult sufferings demanded by the cross.
That's right. Because when we pray the rosary and go to the sorrowful mysteries, and we pray the fifth sorrowful mystery, you think about the crucifixion of our Lord and Our Lady standing there at the foot of the cross. And what do we say to her? Hail Mary, mm-hmm. rejoice Mary.
Right.
And it's only, in a sense, it's only that joy of knowing God's presence that can allow us to accept the cross in our lives.
So why is it seems like you're saying here, Mary, who's so joyful, that her name itself might have something to do with being bitter or something? Or
right. I mean, we don't know exactly the meaning of the name Mary, but one of the ideas is it comes from a word meaning bitter, and that she just had great bitterness in her life, not in the sense of resentment, but just suffering and pain.
Right.
In the same way that the Lord saw his father, right, lived with the beatific vision and yet was the most sorrowful of all men. Mm. And so in the mystery of grace, we can both be joyful and in pain at the same time.
Okay.
And that's what love does. Mm. So this is where, if you don't want to have any sorrow in your life, don't love.
Right.
Because when you love, you open your heart up to the greatness of joy and sorrow.
Right. St. Dominic loved to sing the Ave Maria Stella, Hail Star of the Sea. I never got that. I remember there's a parish on Long Island, Mary, Star of the Sea. What's the Star of the Sea bit? I never quite got that.
Well, I'm not a sailor, but I understand that sailors at sea can get lost concerning matters of direction, mm-hmm. but if they look up concerning the sky, mm-hmm. if it's a clear night, then that they can have their bearings. Mm-hmm. So when we have the experience of the of being tossed about in the tumult of life, we can look up to Mary, and she's the Star of the Sea.
Okay. You also talk about, you know, the idea of, as we say, with the Annunciation and Elizabeth, but even just the idea of seeing Mary's love lived out in that, even though she's pregnant, she makes that to go take care of somebody else, to put that other person even more important than herself, regardless of who she was carrying.
That's right.
Yeah, she had a great interior freedom just to think of others. You know, people say sometimes that person made me feel like the only person in the room. She did that with Elizabeth. She just thought of Elizabeth. Elizabeth's needs were more important to her than her own.
Right. You talk about grace and that grace as being a prelude to glory. You say, why do we receive grace? Is it because we are good? No, we receive grace because God is good. Say, God gives us grace through the church's sacramental life. Do you think that's kind of lost on people in some ways today? Everybody kind of thinks they're originally blessed anyway. So, you know, what do I need these kind of affectations the church invented over the years?
So it's extremely important because we are saved by grace. Mm-hmm. And that the grace comes to us from Our Lady's Son. So the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ is this great font mm-hmm. of grace. And grace both heals our wounded nature and elevates our nature to be partaking mm-hmm. in the divine nature.
Right.
So that there is a great difference between nature and grace, but grace always comes to us mm-hmm. who are created in a nature that is capable of God.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was a great image that you put. I had never really thought of it. When the angel Gabriel greeted Mary, he saw her soul more than any other creature and that it was full of grace. I never thought of that image. It's a great image.
Yeah, I mean, she was full. She was full of God, full of grace. She was ready to receive an even greater fullness.
Right, so it wasn't like it was being bestowed upon her by Gabriel. It was being recognized.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just that idea that he would see that. You say Our Lady appeared to St. Bernadette at Lourdes. You talk about Our Lady proclaimed, I'm the Immaculate Conception, and Bernadette says, oh, I didn't know anything about that at this time. Why is that so misunderstood, do you think, by people, the whole concept of the Immaculate Conception?
Well, first off, to be able to appreciate how, from the very first moment of her existence, Our Lady was graced by God, and this is different from everybody else. Mm-hmm. So in view of her call, her mission to be the Mother of God, God made her without any original sin, and then that she was free from all sin. Mm-hmm. So this is where you have to have a sense of original sin in order to appreciate the Immaculate Conception, mm-hmm. and then to see how it's especially that we understand Mary's beauty in God's plan for us to be saved from our sins by her son, Jesus.
Right. So why was Mary troubled by the greeting that she got? Why didn't she just take it in? She was already all graced up.
Right. Yeah, she wouldn't have had an experience of guilt like others would have had if an angel showed up. But it's still unusual and surprising, and a sense of a great responsibility.
Right. So you also talk about the fact that God's presence is different from ours. You say, when the Son ascended to the Father's right hand, he did not cease being with his disciples. So you mean he was bilocating, or how does that work?
Okay, so at the end of Matthew's account of the gospel, Jesus tells his disciples before he ascends to the Father's right hand, I am with you all days, or I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is God. God is everywhere. Mm-hmm. So that the Lord Jesus, who takes our frail humanity all the way up to the right hand of the Father, so in the highest of heavens, that he is still with us here on this earth. Mm-hmm. How can he do this? He's God.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also you mentioned the fact that that's the Eucharist, right?
Right. That he gave us himself to see his presence in a way.
Is that a gift that we take for granted?
I'm sure. I mean, we take God for granted, and the Eucharist is God. So I think we can always go deeper.
And we talked about this a little bit before. I kind of said, blessed art thou among women in love of neighbor, and that's when you talked about, you talk about it here about Elizabeth. And what does it mean to be blessed or blessed?
Right. So, I mean, the key line, I think, to see that we often think of blessedness in a worldly way is, blessed are you when you are persecuted at the end of the Beatitudes.
Right.
So what does that mean, that we get to share in God's life, in the life of the Lord, even in the most difficult times? And so the saints believed that, and they show how it's true. And so we're called to see blessedness in a much higher way than any sort of worldly success or
Right, chapter 4, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and it's then enjoying Jesus in love. What does that mean, enjoying Jesus in love?
Okay, well, so there are different kinds of love. St. Augustine says, ultimately, there are two different kinds of love. In the Latin, frui means to enjoy. Mm-hmm. Our word fruit is always meant to be something enjoyable. So frui is to enjoy, udi is to use. And ultimately, we want to love God with the enjoyment, so to cling to God for his own sake. We don't want to use God. So Jesus is God, and so to be able to enjoy him in love is to cling to Jesus for his own sake.
Okay. You say St. Thomas Aquinas helps us see how the fruit of Mary's womb gives us Eve and all of us desire. Only Jesus fulfills our deepest longing. Jesus himself warns us against the forbidden fruit and encourages us to seek good fruit. I thought this was an important for today. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. That seems to be one of the toughest things for people today, not only because people are unsure what the fruit should look like anymore.
Mm-hmm. And where to go to find the enjoyment that they really want in the deepest way.
And what is this old German way of praying the rosary that somebody put in here? At what time there was custom still preserved in certain of adding the name of Jesus in each of Hail Mary reference to the mystery being contemplated? I think now that I think about it, my friend from Germany, I think he still does that.
Good.
Yeah, right.
Good.
Yeah.
So it is an old tradition. St. Paul VI recognized it because there are different ways of praying the rosary. And this tradition, every time the Hail Mary is announced during the decade, that after the word Jesus, there is a little gloss, a little explanation that matches the mystery being dedicated. Mm-hmm. So that all 10 Hail Marys of that decade would have that little extra addition there after Jesus.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the fact that the French translation of the Hail Mary has "pray for us poor sinners" in their version. Do you think that's a better idea?
Well, all sinners are poor, so it's included in the term sinners, but it's lovely. It's, again, a similar addition to help us think about who we are as we're praying, that we're poor and needy.
You say Mary always points to her Son and beckons us to listen to him. That, as Catholics, we can clearly see, but that's confusing to many people outside the church.
Oh, yes, but this is where, if you go back to sacred scripture and you meditate on the wedding feast of Cana, so in the luminous mysteries, that's given to us as the second mystery, and to see how Mary is there, and she is the one who causes her Son to work his first sign, the first miracle. Wow. And so Our Lady is so instrumental in helping us go to Jesus, and because Jesus came to us through Mary.
Right. Well, St. De Montfort is right here. Next states, it's only through Mary the God that Father gave his only begotten Son to the world. So that makes her pretty special. So how long did it take you to put this book together?
How long do we work on it?
I'm not
Maybe
sure.
Maybe 8 months, 6 months, something like that.
Are you working on another prayer book?
We are. We're just getting going on a Glory Be book, unsurprisingly.
Okay. Yeah. Is that going to be a short book?
so we're going to organize it differently.
Okay.
But it'll hopefully aim for around the same length.
Okay, very good.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug.
Doug, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for joining us. Authors of Hail Mary, Pondering the Mystery of Love. There's a lot there. Check it out, EW10's religious catalog. It's available through. I'm Doug Keck. This has been EW10's Bookmark. We'll see you next time. Thanks.